Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a waspily rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Time to awaken. Mark, Mark, wake up, Mark.
Hello, good Friday morning to everyone out there. This is the rabbit hole and you're in it. Good luck getting out. Yeah, yet another Friday the 13th. Yep, the energies out there are... I honestly, at no point in my life do I ever remember feeling anything like this. my energy level is... It's craziness out there is all I can see. Especially if you've got planets in the middle degrees of Aries, Capricorn, Libra, or Cancer, or if you have any Pisces energy, I'd imagine you're just randomly visiting your body now as I am. My energy is so crazy right now. I had to install a new app on my phone just so I could find where my body is. The body GPS. Ba-dum-bum. Reason number 227, I did not become a professional comedian. Okay, so there's so much going on. I'm probably just going to be babbling incoherent sentences at this point. So first of all, finally, I have redone my website. I have a new logo, thanks to Leah Gray for helping with that and helping me set up my website. And thanks to Lauren for using her Libra-ness to prettify and do a large amount of the work on my website too, as my fins get in the way, and it's hard to type with fins. So, thank you. I finally, this is probably my fifth or sixth try, I think, but I finally have a website that I am proud of. I think that this website finally captures the essence of me. I think it covers all of a lot of the different weird oddities that make up my general weirdness. So my brand name I will be working under at this point is Two Fishes Astrology. You can go to www.TWOFISHESASTROLOGY.com. You'll find a list of my services, events, radio shows, expos, a small bio, some testimonials, links to all my websites and pages. The only thing that's missing is I am redoing my YouTube page. And when I have that fiasco sorted out, I will let you know and share. I've changed my Twitter account now. So some of you that were following me on Twitter, I was Astrology Rev. I am now Two Fishes Astro, because astrology wouldn't fit on. One of the painful realities of Twitter. So, goodness sakes, what else is going on? Also, I'm working on getting the content of my old blog site added onto my new website, and I will share that when I have it done also. This weekend, Gift of Light Expo. Fairgrounds Expo Center. on the OSU Fairgrounds, 17th Avenue, 10 to 6 Saturday, no, 10 to 7 Saturday, 10 to 6 on Sunday. Condor Eagle drummer, stop by and see us. We'll be at booth, more than likely, we will be at booth 136. And we just got a nice new banner made, and come visit Iggy, myself, David, Katie, Ricky Dave, and I'm sure Adriana and Mary, and hopefully Anthony's feeling better. Putsy will be there. You'll see a lot of the oddballs from our drum circle will be popping in and out. Some of us, I will be there doing astrology readings, and don't forget our friend Gary Heron, who will be at booth 310, and he will be doing crystal ball readings. So stop by and say hi. Not to mention our several of the guests we've had on the show here will be on. My friend Heather Horton will be giving a really awesome lecture on Saturday. I'm speaking at 2 o'clock in Conference Room D, and it is Astrology, Ascension, and Solar Flares. And I am going to tie together to you the key dates in the Ascension process over the last few years. And I will tie them in with the big astrological energy bumps and the massive solar flares we've been having. And I've done an extensive analysis on that, so I will be sharing my findings with you, 2 o'clock. I believe my friend Heather speaks at, I think she speaks at 12 on Saturday. David speaks at 5. Gary speaks Saturday and Sunday. But I've put the link to the Gift of Light Expo up on the page there. In the chat room, I should say. So check out my website. I will have a blog portion up. okay, the current energies. If you're a little blue marble, you know that is crazy. It's completeness going on. So we are telling people for months this now, so but I'll go back over it one more time. We are at the height of this Uranus-Pluto square, which has been reshaping society as a whole on the Earth. There have been 7 exact hits of the Uranus-Pluto square. There's been 6. The 7th one is this Monday at 9:50 at night. Also, tomorrow, Saturday, Saturn, the moon will be in Capricorn this weekend for the expo, by the way. Saturn rules Capricorn. Saturn will be making a station, which means it is slowing down and changing direction, and its energy is going to be felt a lot more. That happens at 11:02 a.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. And then following it up a week from today, the exclamation point on all this, we have a new moon, a solar eclipse, and it is at the last degree of the zodiac, which just happens to be exactly where my sun is. My sun is at 29 Pisces. This eclipse is going to be exactly on my sun. And actually, my guest next week, whose birthday is one day before mine, the eclipse is actually exactly on her sun as well. So next Friday, my guest will be Allison Ahern, making her radio debut. Really good astrologer who is really good on eclipses. Really good on eclipses. So I thought she's really good on eclipses. We have a gigantic, and this is a super moon too. It's a new moon, super moon, solar eclipse at the last degree of the zodiac. So that is the exclamation point on this gigantic energy surge and purging that has been going on for everyone. I am not sending this out as a challenge to the universe. I am just stating nothing would surprise. You could not surprise me at this point. You could not. I don't think that's happening, my friend. Valiant effort. Oops. Okay, so yeah, the energies are just beyond intense at this point. And also we had and I will show some of the correlations on this in my talk Saturday, but on the 11th, within a couple of days ago on the 11th, Mars was exactly conjunct the planet Uranus in the sign of Aries, fire sign. Uranus is strange events, Mars is action. So we had a X2.2 solar flare within a couple hours of that. So that was confirmation from the universe to me that that my talk was on the right topic, because there's a whole, you know, like energies attract, and there is, when things are going on planetarily, things are going on within ourselves, and things are going on in the outside world, like, you know, Ferguson, Missouri, and other, and of course there's a gigantic explosion too within a couple minutes of the Mars-Uranus conjunction. And I have to look and see, I forget where that was. I have to look and see where that was. So, lots going on, and we've got a Iggy just shared the Condor Eagle banner I just picked up last night for the expo. So, it is really so a solar flare is a massive build-up and outlet of energy. So one of the things I'm going to talk a little bit tomorrow is that we almost got wiped. The Earth almost got pretty much wiped out in July of 2012. There was a massive solar flare that was of such a massive level that if it had happened a week earlier and the sun, that part of the sun had actually been pointed at the Earth at that time, we'd have been a large portion of scientists think that we would still be recovering from that. And one scientist said that there was a 12% chance that within the next 10 years we could get hit by one of these. So even the one we had on the 11th this week, even though it did not, you know, it wasn't a direct hit and it wasn't as big of a flare, I and others experienced technology issues, computer issues. You know, this is like taking your electronic equipment and putting it in a microwave. That's what happens when there's a giant solar flare or solar storm. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yes. Right, and that's where we get like the northern lights and the aurora borealis, and that is exactly what happened in. Oh gosh, I'm going to screw this up, probably. I believe it was 1897. There was multiple back-to-back solar flares, and the aurora borealis was actually seen in Cuba and Tahiti. It was seen that far south. There was people in the northeast United States where they could sit outside and read at night for a two-day period. That's that, and just you just think, you know, back in the late 1800s, how little technology and computers and stuff there were compared. I mean, they didn't even have computers. I mean, you know, there was some telephone lines, and just, you know, we had a few things like that. But imagine now the level of that. Oh, wow. Wow. That's, yeah. So it's interesting stuff, and I have a lot of people that led me down some paths to some good information. To led me down some good trails on some good information there. So that's what I'll be talking about on Saturday. So come out and see, even if you can't hang out all day, both days, come by the booth and say hi. We'll have a nice flyer for our radio network, and I have a flyer for myself, and lots of brand new business cards. And so just, even if you don't spend any money or if you can't stay for all of our talks or anything like that, just, you know, if you're there, stop by and say hi at least. Okay, so today our guest is Jennifer Seek, and looks like she's on the line. You can find her at innervoiceintuitive.com. She will be doing a talk at Phoenix Books 2 weeks from today, Friday, March 27th, on animal totems and personal shamanism. And she used to have a show on this network, and I was a guest on her show a couple times, and I think she pops in here and there still as a caller and listener. And so we want to welcome Jennifer Seek onto the show.
Hi there.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Really good. How are you, Mark?
See, it is. I don't even have any. I don't even have any words for the energy that is out there. I actually wish I could level this energy off and like bottle it and save some for later. I'm a complete absolute maniac right now.
Yep.
I mean, it's like,
you
know. I'm getting ridiculous amounts of stuff done. So
yep,
that's awesome.
Me too. But have you noticed it seems like the energy is like that, like you're getting ridiculous amounts of stuff done. But then I get these like bouts of like anxiousness, and I just have to go, no, everything's okay. And then it subsides. It's like just periodically there's this little like tweak of anxiousness in the whole thing. But overall it's like steady, and it's like zoom. It's like, woo, here we go. You know what I mean? Are you getting that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get, so like I get up in the morning and I start working on, you know, I can immediately start working on stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets to like, by mid-afternoon, I have like absorbed so much energy, and I'm just like,
mm-hmm.
So like, I have to like stop and lay down for a couple minutes. I'm like, I mean, it's like my
yep.
system is completely fried. And like, I have to like
yep.
stop and like just drink a bunch of water and like lay down for a couple minutes, just like let my energy like kind of, you know, grab
Catch
some
up.
Crystals or whatnot. Yeah, yeah. So it's like
yep.
I'm just like a just unbelievable surges of energy.
Yep. For
and
sure.
I'm sure you're. Yeah, I'm probably running across that with your. Clients and stuff that you see as well.
Yep, absolutely. Everybody's just like, everything's great. But then I flipped out. But then everything's great. That's just what I'm hearing. Different derivations of that.
Right. Like I'm like on a personal level and stuff. Like I'm just like, I'm exploding, and my energy is just ridiculous. But like, it seems like when you try to work on bigger things, where it's like, because
mm-hmm.
everyone is feeling this, and everyone's on
mm-hmm.
some level, everyone is going through this energy. So it's like, things tend to get, like, there's so much electricity between people now, that it's like things kind of get haywire when
mm-hmm.
there's like, when it's something like where there's a bunch of people involved, or there's something that takes like a lot of planning or orchestration. It seemed
yep.
like every 2 seconds there's changes and stuff.
Absolutely. definitely feeling it. Definitely.
You've got a so tell us what's going on with your business there. I know you're working on a few things, and you've got a talk coming up at Phoenix Books, and so let us what's going on with you.
Sure. Well, I'm giving a talk on personal shamanism and working with animal totems on the 27th. I'm super excited about that. That work has just been so amazing as of late. I do this work in the fall with C. Michael Smith up at the Crow's Nest, which is a shamanic center, and he's been involved with shamanism, but also he's a Jungian psychotherapist. And so I go work with him once every fall. And that work, it's amazing that work opens you up incrementally way after you've done it. So I go up there and I do this sacred breath work with him, which is a series of deep breathing with music. And what happens is you get connected energetically with whatever your blockages are, move through different stages in your ego, and really connect more with your authentic self through guides and animal totems and helpers within you. And that work has just been amazing, and it's really changed. It's starting to change a lot the way I work with clients. So, like, I'm trained as a psychotherapist. I have, you know, experience doing that, clinical experience. But it's really changed energetically the way that I work with clients, like bringing a lot more elements of play into the space and opening a lot more to the imagination, which was always something I was very open to, but clinically it wasn't something that I was really taught to do. So through this breath work and some of the work that I have done there, it just has added another element that to me is personally really meaningful, because I, you know, have always been really, really more enamored with my imagination than with the three-dimensional reality that we, you know, say we live in and is the most important thing. Culturally, we say that, right? And so it's just been very, very powerful work, and it's kind of like coming home. So it's been a lot of fun to do that work.
Awesome. So that's, clearing is really a big topic right now, and that's kind of the main theme of that of the Uranus Pluto square cycle that we're nearing the last exact hit on, especially and leading up to the eclipse next Friday. I mean, it is really all about clearing out those old the shadow parts of us, our shadow sides, our shadow selves that are kind of secretly running things, and we have to kind of dig those out and look at them.
Right.
And so there's a lot of, it's really all about, I mean, I've been almost, I mean, I'm not preaching. I'm going through all this too. I mean, there's been a couple times in the last few weeks where I've been, Jenny and I were talking yesterday where it's like, you know, I mean, it was act like 4-year-olds sometimes, and
totally.
And you've got to let that happen sometimes, because those are kind of those really deep dug in shadow parts of ourselves that you have to you can't really access them maybe from where you are now. You have to kind of let yourself be reverted back to that space and time to really get in there and find those. Do you find that?
Absolutely. You can't access them from the mind. You know, you can't think them away. You have to allow them to show up and share their gifts. You know, when we have a little 4-year-old child in us who's like kicking its feet and going, oh, I'm not going to do it. That's because there's part of us that needs to listen to that message and needs to listen on a more soulful level to what that resistance is about, you know, or what that, you know, grumpiness is about, or whatever, however that little kid shows up. You know, maybe they want to do something entirely different and they have a more ingenious idea than our regular self, you know, than our typical self that shows up most of the time, you know, or our persona or our ego or that sort of thing. And so it's about making space for those different parts of the self instead of trying to kind of, you know, hold them down. So, yeah, absolutely.
So with the the personal shamanism work you do, you kind of use these archetypes and stuff to help people clear out these old stuck parts, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, before I ever started working with clients, I had my own kind of stories about what worked for me. And my family was very head over heart. So very, very logical, didn't really value an intuitive way of viewing the world at all. And I just, got kind of in, for lack of a better word, kind of a battle with the way my family did things. And I really had to reach into my imagination and gather tools and strength and resiliency and creativity there that I wasn't really offered in my family of origin. And it wasn't because they weren't creative or things like that. It was because they were so focused on what you were doing next. There was this speedy quality, like you always have to perform. You always have to, reach higher. And there was no place for play or no place for the imagination, just for the sake of the imagination, just for the playfulness and the beauty and the creativity that it brings to you. And so really from the time that I was pretty young, I started really seeking out a greater connection with my imagination. That took a lot of forms, a real interest in my dreams and some of the characters that I would meet in my dreams. And they would kind of help me out of situations that I couldn't really maneuver in my waking life. And so all of those stories really kind of inform the work that I do and also the way I live my life at this point. So now sharing it with clients and helping them have tools to draw from their imagination and connect with their intuition and connect with their ability to manifest is just super duper important. And when we think about the idea of personal shamanism, it's a little different than, being like a shamanic leader in a tribe or that sort of thing. We're really disconnected from the idea of shamanism, but shamanism is really just about having our own personal cosmology that connects with nature, connects with nature, connects with the energy around us, connects with our creative process. And that's something a lot of us aren't encouraged to do in our everyday lives.
Right, right. Totally agree. So in a few minutes here, we're going to start talking about animal totems, which is a subject I
mm-hmm.
love. And I know Iggy will be interested in that one. I think a lot of it is, like the name of your website, Inner Intuitive Voice. Inner Voice Intuitive.
Oh.
And it's like, it's about listening, listening to the inner voices and picking, the universe is always sending me signals, or always
yep.
sending all of his signals through, I get messages from songs and movies and animals.
Yep.
I had hawks dive bombing me for like a 24-hour period. It was ridiculous. I was like, okay, got it. Got it. Yes, the hawks were chasing the rabbit that day. It was crazy. I was constantly around a hawk for like 24 hours. It was ridiculous.
That's awesome.
I walked out on my porch and one like swooped down to where we could see it. I'm like, what in the world is going on? So we're always getting all kinds of messages. So
definitely.
I think it's...
I think with animal totem work, we kind of sometimes miss it because we go to the books and we think, which animal do I think I am? And we give away our power in that moment. The animal that really we have a relationship with is the animals that are around us, the animals that we're curious about, the animals that we love to watch, the animals that we think, wow, that's so ingenious the way they do that. And how could I be different if I did that differently, or how can I learn from that, you know? So we, like, kind of, you know, connect with this, like, idea of, you know, this big dictionary that we have to learn, all these animal totems, and, oh, which one is mine, and this sort of thing. But really, honestly, it's the ones that we appreciate the most. You know, like, right now, I'm looking out my back window, and there's a squirrel who is running across and actually just, like, taking its little nose and just so excited that the snow is gone, you know, taking its little nose and rubbing it against the trunk of the trunks of the tree, and literally, you know, and there's this element of attention that I have toward that, because I hand feed the squirrels at this point. But the only reason I do that is because I love them, because to me they connect with something in me and they inspire me. So it's really simple. You just go out and notice what you're drawn to and what draws you, and that's how you find your animal totem. And now there's another one running across.
So cute. Right. Yeah. I find different. I have different ones at different times, but I have a pretty solid list of eight that are pretty pretty
awesome.
Relevant pretty constantly
pretty
to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
very
so
cool.
Maybe we'll take just a short break here in just a couple seconds. And I thought about after we talked about this yesterday on Facebook, and mm-hmm. I kind of made a list of the ones I had, and I wrote down their descriptions, and then I kind of put down what I thought was the astrological correlations out of my chart as to kind of what these what these represented. So we're going to take just a short break here. I'm going to catch my breath for a second, and then we'll be right back with Jennifer Seek.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Silly Rabbit, tricks are for kids.
Okay. I don't know why people put up with our shenanigans, but had a little message there from Miss Fuzzbottom, our sister, our virtual assistant. That's a whole another long story. So she's my virtual assistant from outer space that flew me here from Neptune. So she chimes in every once in a while.
Oh my.
Okay, so you got to do a couple things. You always want to be able to declare temporary insanity in case you're ever, you know, presented with any charges or anything. So
sure. You know,
just a helpful tip for all my friends out there. Always wanting to share, always wanting to help. So, my crazy's leaking out today, I think.
It's okay. It's all good.
I love talking about animal totems. Love
I
animal
do too.
Totems. Because it is, it's like there's a certain, you know, a couple of the ones have come up for me, you know, like I've kind of shown up the last couple of years, like the spider debacle of last year. The mm-hmm. 2014 was the year of the spider for me. So
what's the spider mean to you?
Okay. So, well, here, so I started going through. Well, Spider is let's see, Spider is create from. This is I snagged these out of the awesome Ted Andrews Animal Speak books. Spider is creativity and weaving of fate. That's what his that's his one sentence definition. So to me, that was I expanded upon that a little bit. It was about weaving the web.
Right,
about weaving
right.
weaving your web of connections, and I like one of the main revelations I had of last year was I'd become a very by the end of oh I can't even remember years anymore about by the at this point 2 years ago I think I'd become a very probably fragmented individual where none of the parts of my life were working together. And they were not working in unison. I was a very kind of fraggy, I think not to the disorder, some people would argue that. But yeah, the panda's staring at me. So I'd had all these different parts of me and stuff, but like my life didn't fit together. I was like always looking for these little pockets and snippets of time and places and stuff to like where I could let these little different parts of me have their time. But now over the last, you know, over the last year, it's I found that all these things and even all these interests and hobbies and various jobs and stuff I've had throughout my life, which all seemed I'm a Pisces. I live off the beaten path. I don't even know where the beaten path is. I don't even know where mainstream reality even. I couldn't even find it if I had to. So I have all these weird jobs I've had and weird pieces of information and, you know, and it's like somehow all of these have, I've drawn all these in now into like one stream, into one business where I can, you know, I have everything that I'm interested in and everything that I like doing, and I've merged that. Our friend Heather Horton posted a really good quote on Facebook this morning. It was something about putting all of the. This is so good. I've got to read this. Ignoring your passion is slow suicide. Never ignore what your heart pumps for. Build your career around your lifestyle, not your lifestyle around your career. And that was a post from Spirit Science. In fact, I'll share that on my wall there. So, yeah, and that's really what's happened with me. I took all these different fragmented, you know, seemingly different parts of myself, and I found that they, once certain obstacles and things and places that didn't work, once I started removing those blockages and those shadow guides, like all these pieces start just magnetically coming together. And I think I'm a radically different, well, A, I'm probably a radical, but B, I'm a radically different person than I was, you know, 2 years at this point.
Very cool.
So how do you work with people with animal totems?
Well, I'm recently really doing work about how animal totems speak to each other, kind of as a committee of support for you. So if you look at chakras and you look at what's energetically held in each chakra, there is an animal totem that wants to speak, an animal that wants to speak from each place of each one of those totems. And sometimes it's about being patient and allowing it to show up, noticing what's surfacing anyway. But I basically do a chakra balancing, work through the chakras, but not like a full one, just like reminding them what each chakra kind of holds or what's energetically there for them, take them through a meditation, and then get those animal totems to express themselves, get them to say, I'm here for this purpose, I can help you in this way. And for some people, that's like, oh yeah, blah, 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 and it's a lot of information because they're real conscious about how that animal helps them, how that animal helper or healer helps them. And then other people aren't. They're like, oh, well, there's a really shy cat there, you know, there's just, and that's all they know. And that's fine because you want the animals to show up in their own time because they are parts of us. They're energetically parts of us, parts of our imagination, parts of our ability to manifest. And so they show up in their own time in their own way, and they kind of support each other. So sometimes they'll work in tandem with each other to help us do things that maybe we can't do in our waking everyday life. Maybe we don't feel we have the strength or the space or the support to do that. But the animal will just kind of show up and give you information, give you messages and awareness about what kind of skills you need and what kind of strengths you need and how they'll provide that. And that's been really amazing work. And I do it with myself kind of every day. If I'm encountering something where there's a challenge, I'll literally say, because I have bats in my first, my second is tiger, my third is lion, my fourth is peacock, my fifth is parrot, my sixth is owl, and my seventh is seal. And so I'll say, seal, seventh chakra, what do you want me to know today? How do I need to work through this, you know? And I'll get real pieces of information that will shift me internally so I feel different about what it is I'm doing, stronger, more resilient, more aware, more supported, this sort of thing.
Nice. Yeah, because I find, I found too, sometimes it's when these animals present themselves that it's kind of a, like a reminder. It's like a 3D walking around post-it note. Like, hey, don't forget about this. Hey,
exactly.
You're not. Hey, stupid, you're not doing this.
Exactly. And you're not paying attention to this.
Right.
Exactly.
And if you start paying attention, I'm going to swoop down on you again. Or in my case, I just one day started finding there was a spider in my face every time I turned around for like two weeks. It was, I mean, I've got a fireplace in my apartment and there's some woods there. So, hey, I'm used to spiders. You're going to have some spiders. It's not a big deal. But this was a clear, I want to read, this was a very clear message from the, this wasn't me seeing a spider a day or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I have spiders too. And when we moved into this house, there was a huge spider web at the back of the porch with a huge black spider in the middle. I mean, a huge web. When I was at Pacifica, there was a huge web walking up the stairs one day between this tree and the other side of the steps or whatever that just spanned the whole thing with this huge black spider. And then when I started writing my book, literally, spiders were like just coming down their, you know, spinnerets or however they say it, right in my face, like right there, like boom, right there in where my eyes were. And I was like, and I, at that point, I was not writing. I was ignoring writing and I was doing other things and I was, you know, not there yet. And spider has a lot to do with writing too. Weaving the web has a lot to do with, you know, sharing our gifts and information out there in the world. And so it has a lot to do with writing and communication and connection that way. And it was just everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. They were, I agree with you. They were everywhere. They were like, you're not writing.
Right.
It was like, oh, okay, there's one on my arm. You're not writing. Okay. You know, I got it. I'm sitting down now. You know, I'm not ignoring you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it gets to the ridiculous point sometimes where I started posting on Facebook like every day. I started just posting spider pictures. And of course, everyone else started, as I was telling people, then everyone was flooding my Facebook with spider pictures.
Yeah.
And so I finally made my status just like, universe, thank you. I got your spiders. I get the message.
Well, when we moved into this house, we were moving stuff in and stuff. And there was a squirrel outside, and you know how sometimes squirrels will fall out of trees? You've seen that in the fall. They'll just, like, fall, you know? And
yeah.
Have you seen that? Well, the squirrel fell. I mean, and it must have fallen 80 feet, like, out of the tops of a really, really high branch of the trees onto the concrete, onto the road, right? And I thought, oh, my God, its internal organs are going to be ruptured, you know. And I ran over to it, and it ran across the street, and then it sat by this tree, and I sat with it for a while and just kind of, you know, I don't know, gave it some vibes, some energy, whatever. And it ran up the tree, and it was fine because I kind of looked at its markings and stuff. I could tell it was the same squirrel and this sort of thing. But squirrel is about storing things and keeping things, saving things for leaner times, you know, knowing that you need to put things away and that you need to save things and that you need to store things for. And that has definitely been like a big aspect of my life, is that as long as I'm resilient and I'm creative and I'm industrious, I always have something stored. Like, I never have to worry about having the things I need. And I knew that, you know, I mean, if this squirrel could survive an 80-foot drop under the concrete, that's a resilient little beast. You know?
Right.
They really are good at taking care of themselves. And I've, you know, questioned my own ability to take care of myself at certain points in my life. And now I don't have to worry about it, because it doesn't matter what my family of origin story was for me. It matters what these squirrels are doing and the relationship that I have with them and how I can see that connection manifesting and growing. And that strengthens me, regardless of what my family's story may be for who I am in the world, you know. So you can kind of rewrite that story.
Right, right, right. That's a very good point, too, because I mean, I tell people that too, with like when we're talking about astrological energy and stuff, it's like, you know, sometimes I'll see articles or people talking about stuff and it's like, oh my gosh, this energy is coming, and, you know, and it's like, yeah, there are some transits that have a lot of energy or can be destructive, but
mm-hmm.
you can use that energy to your best. Everybody has
yeah.
something that they need to destroy. I mean,
yeah.
whether it's a work environment
yeah.
or, a,
yeah.
you know, so just because there's big, powerful, maybe destructive energy or rearranging energy or life-changing energy, doesn't mean it's got to be bad. If you sit back in a corner and try and hide from it, it probably will manifest itself
yep.
as
right.
as difficulties. But if you say, hey, this energy's coming, what do I have that needs changed in this area, or how can I use this energy to improve something, then I think that's
well,
the proper way to.
You get to choose what you take, you know. You get to choose how you define yourself. So maybe the culture says, you know, well, you're not doing things right, or you're not asking the right questions. And you get to say, don't tell me I'm not asking the right questions. I get to ask the questions, you know. And I think at a certain stage in your life, you start to go, wait, that's the story the culture, my family, my gender, my whatever has for me. What's the story I have for myself about what this is, what this looks like, how this empowers me, how this makes me unique, how this helps me get from here to there? And then you can give up the culture story or family story for you. You know, if it doesn't work for you and it isn't true for you, why hang on to it just because it's, you know, it's like eating a dead horse. Why hang on to it if it isn't benefiting you?
Right, and I think that's an important lesson for everyone right now. Sometimes we can,
yep.
you know, we get stuck in these karmic cycles and karmic relationships, and, you know, just doing the same thing over and over again. You know, sometimes we can say, you know, hey, I choose to let this go and to send this energy back to the universe for it to recycle for what it sees as the greatest good.
Exactly.
And step out of, you know, these karmic cycles that we get stuck in, because we just, you know, we just kind of end up in these replaying the same tapes in our mind and stuff like that. And it's that, you know, we have these moments of consciousness when we can kind of step out of that and say, hey, I see what's going on. I'm calling it out. And
exactly.
I see the message and I'm done with this. And I'm going to release
exactly.
this karma.
Exactly.
And two, I want to add on the animal totem stuff, like, you know, I see squirrels every day and I see birds every day and stuff. So, and wherever you live, wherever you're listening, you probably have certain animals that you see every day. But I don't think that those are necessarily messages, but those animals mm-hmm. you see every day, when they purposely put themselves in your path or when they make
yep.
unusual. Right. Because, I mean, I see a squirrel every day, but when one comes up on my porch and starts looking in my window, or when, you
yep.
know, when there's some
right.
unusual behavior at, like, I see hawks all the time, but when I got swooped by three of them in one day, that was out of the ordinary behavior.
After I started hand feeding the squirrels, I was having a real struggle with something one day, and I was, you know, trying to figure out what to do with the whole situation. And the squirrel, it was running back and forth, with, you know, leaves and kind of feathering its nest, you know, filling its nest with leaves. And it lives on our porch, and it was on the things that keep your porch up, the brick things that keep your porch up, pillars. And it was running up and down there. And it looked at me, and it came down and had this, you know, little pile of leaves in its mouth. And it came down, and it sat on the table, and it put its little pile of leaves on the table right in front of me and ran up on the back of the chair and, you know, put its little tail, started thumping its little tail up and down and looking in the window at me. I was like, you're kidding me. You're giving me a little pile of leaves. I couldn't believe it. But I think that's the other piece about animal totems that's super duper important too, is it is the animal paying attention to you or doing something out of the ordinary, but it's also about your response to the animal. So that if you go, oh my gosh, you know, I know that you, for instance, Mark, have shark as one of your primary totems, and you probably have all sorts of awarenesses about how sharks behave, when they showed up, you know, in terms of the, you know, timeline evolutionarily, this sort of thing that equates with parts of who you are in your own story. So it also is what's triggered internally toward the animal, you know.
Right, right. And that's, glad you brought that up. That's a good point. So if you look at my new logo and website, it is being a Pisces, the Pisces symbol is two fish. So my new logo is, originally it was going to be just two regular fish first, but I'm like, you know, the shark is my totem. And I
mm-hmm.
have it, so it needs to be, because I probably, those of you that know me will probably verify this in one way or another, but I probably lean a little more towards the dark and mysterious side than the than just mm-hmm. the regular ordinary fish. So I wanted that incorporated, you know, into my logo and into my company name. And so, you know, some of the messages for people with shark totems is heightened senses. That's definitely me. Relentless ferocity and pursuits. And
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily have that. I do at times, but that's something that I've worked on building. That's something that I need to have. And
mm-hmm.
over the years, I've worked on developing that. There's, so, I mean, I used to have where I would, you know, gee, I hope this works out. And, you know, I want, and it's like, I've totally changed. I no longer really look for, like, good luck, or I don't hope that things work out anymore, or I don't really, I don't know. I don't really want hope or anything like that. My mindset now is like, I feel I need to do this. I'm going to do this. I don't really care what barriers or opinions or ideologies or whatever that I need to do. There are certain things that I just know that I have to do. And if my spirit guides or spirit animals confirm that this is correct, then I no longer care about what kind of luck I have or how things are flowing. There are certain things. It's like, okay, I need to do this. I'm going to do it. And I don't, I'll figure out the where's and the when's and the why's and stuff like that. But
that's very predatory. I mean, if you think about the shark as being predatory, going after prey, like this, I have to have this now, I mean, you get to define what that looks like with the way that you come in at something, whether you're predatory towards something else or just predatory toward an idea or an ambition or a goal. Do you know what I mean? Like my tiger, that's the way my tiger is too, my second chakra. It's like, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody believes, what anybody tells you, how many people are following, such idea. This is my goal. This is what I need to do in my life to get from here to there. And there's a predatory aspect to it. It may not have to do with anybody else, but getting people out of the way, going, oh, nope, this is the goal. This is what I'm doing,
Right. And I don't mean, because I want to make sure I don't sew in the shark as for my totem as being predatory towards people. But just to be honest, I had the first half of my life, I had a horrible time with finishing things.
Mm-hmm.
I would have good ideas, but I would never finish anything. And I realized that at a point I had to fix that within that Mars retrograde in my first house. And I had to be able to finish and complete things. And sometimes that required, I got into this discussion the other day with somebody. And so impatience, stubbornness, some things like that have negative connotations to them. Those things exist, so there is a point to them existing. Because in general, being stubborn or being impatient are seen as bad things. But sometimes,
oh no, they're great.
We have to have those. We have to have
to
those
get
things.
Here to there, yeah.
Right, because really easy to get blown off course on things.
That's right. I like that quote about people who succeed and people who fail, and how many times people, I can't remember the details of it, but basically that someone who succeeds has failed a lot. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that they're really ambitious, they're really driven, and part of that is being impatient. That is part of what happens. And then we certainly cycle with our own feelings about that and come to a place of more awareness and peace with our process. But, we also know that we're ambitious, and that part of that is being impatient, and that part of that is okay, part of that's necessary.
Right, because the energy I put into things would just like just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I had to realize I have been. I can be stubborn when I need to, and so I realized that there was actually a good use for what could be seen as maybe negative energy. But staying on the shark for a second, another part of for most sharks, I think there's one or two kind of sharks that can actually like stop and sleep under the floor, but most of them.
This is like you, Mark. I'm sorry.
They have.
I know how you get sleepy automatically, and then you have to take a rest. I'm sorry.
Right. But then the shark has to keep swimming to to keep water flowing through it. It's a couple of them that can stop water and oxygen skills. But swimming about all the time to keep it in system, to keep the oxygen going, you know, through its gills. And that's a very big point for me, because that's how I have to keep changing and evolving and moving forward, because I've got, you know, I've got Moon, Jupiter and Cancer. I can get stuck in emotional stuff. I can get bogged down in the, I mean, I'm a Pisces, for goodness sake. I mean, I can get stuck in all that, all the emotional stuff, and it's stuff that needs to be honored and dealt with. But yeah. I would get stuck and almost innate for long periods of time. And that kills a shark if it has to stop.
Yep.
It has to keep
moving.
It has to keep moving to keep that oxygen flowing through its gills.
It sounds like you're really listening to your animals, and you're really, really connecting and listening to the gifts that they have for you. You know, I mean, that's really powerful work for you.
Yeah. It took a lot of figuring out there, but
yeah.
I thought it was a lot of, you know, a couple of the other, bat is one of mine also.
Which chakra is bat for you?
I'm not sure what chakra, but what I looked up in Teddy Andrews' book, it said rebirth, death, ritual death, self-determination. So I correlated that with the, plus, I mean, bats have kind of a dark connotation, which I am totally comfortable with. So I kind of correlated that with my Scorpio energy, my Mars South Node, Neptune
Rising. For me, that is my first, and it's all about rebirthing, you know, rebirthing myself. And it has to do with physical things too, like from going from really, really a difficult place to just rebirthing myself entirely, and how quickly I can do that. Like, just knowing that my family of origin story about health and healing is not my own, you know, and that, like, I can get a disease or symptom or something like that and then just make it go away by working, by believing that it will, by setting intention and rebirthing myself, you know. So that, like, the bat hangs upside down and it's in suspension like the hanged man in the tarot, and it's in a place where it's cocooning and it's changing, and that if it's aware of that, then it can rebirth itself. And that's an animal that shows up in my dreams a lot, and has shown up in conjunction with seal, which is my seventh animal totem, my crown chakra, and kind of in their role shown up interchangeably, you know. So I had this dream once where this bat was on this string like a kite, and it was flying and kind of pulling me around, and then I had a dream about a seal doing the same thing. So to me, there's this relationship where the seventh and the first are kind of interchangeable, the energy of the crown chakra connecting with divinity and connecting with new life, you know, which is the survival aspect of the first chakra, are kind of interchangeable. So that's been a really interesting insight in terms of the dream time.
Cool. Yeah, and I don't mean to keep talking about all of our personal stuff, but I think actually,
no,
you know, there's so many animal totems. I think that it's, you know, us kind of giving our personal experiences and how they play out with us, I think maybe will help people more than giving giving generalizations and stuff.
I think so too, because, you know, I think people need permission for their own spiritual journey, and for some reason they ask for permission instead of finding an inner authority often. And sometimes when people have figured that piece out, right, like you and me and many others, and said, no, for me, this is what's true, and it doesn't matter if it's literal or it works literally, what matters is that it works for me. For someone who's at the very beginning stage of the journey and is like, am I an owl or a woodpecker, and my friend says this about me, and this book says this about me, that when they hear someone who is kind of coming from a place of inner authority, they go, no, this feels right. No, it's this, you know, and the clairsentient, claircognizant, all of those four
clairs that we connect with energetically in terms of our intuition, they take in a different way when they hear people go, no, this is true for me. Well, this is right. Well, this connects with this energy. You know, the fact that the shark can sleep on the bottom of the ocean but still has to move in some capacity in the same way, that feels like it resonates for me. That's important for people who are in the very beginning stages of how do I do this to hear, I think. No matter what their animal totems are.
right. Totally agree. So they can, they're giving us messages and we can, you know, they show up for a reason and we can, how we interpret those. I mean, we intuitively know what we need or what we're missing or what we're forgetting. They're just kind of, you know, knocks at the door there. It's like, hey, don't forget about this. So
exactly.
we're gonna take a really short break here, and then we're gonna come back with Jennifer Seek, and we're gonna let her tell us about some of the other services she offers for clients, and then we're gonna get back into totem animals, and we'll be right back in just a couple seconds.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com. Your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Batter up.
Our batter today is Jennifer Seek. I know. I'm just a complete raving.
Not good.
I guess the loon should probably be one of my animal totems.
Maybe it is, Mark.
So I see you have several services listed here on your website. Intuitive tarot readings, intuitive tarot classes, healing Reiki, hypnotherapy, chakra balancing, dream imaging, somatic mind-body work, intuitive counseling packages. So how well do you go about, what are services do you have? That was a horrible sentence. How do you go about helping people and what kind of packages do you recommend for people and what kind of services and how do you go about that?
Sure. Well, it depends on what they want. Some people come and, you know, they're dipping their toe in the proverbial ocean and they want a tarot card reading, you know, and that's what they want, you know, and they want some guidance and they want that sort of information. Some people want to connect with their inner energies. So with that, I would probably suggest that they do something like chakra balancing because that's a more internal kind of a thing, you know, or if they like color a lot, that's a great place to start. But it's something where they can say, for me, my fourth chakra feels like this, instead of me saying to them, well, this card means this for you. So they have a different need. And then sometimes people will come and get more just kind of spot services kind of thing. In terms of the intuitive counseling, what I do with that is I really want people to connect with their own intuitive story, right? We live in a culture that's so rationally based, so head over heart often, especially in, you know, more traditional arenas. And so people really want to connect. They have this yearning to connect with their intuitive story, what's true for them. And I help them to restore that part of their lives. So when they encountered people who didn't value their intuition, didn't value their innate ways of knowing, I help them to tell that part of the story differently, right? And then within those counseling packages, I also offer different modalities as well so that, you know, if we get into the work and we're doing, you know, some talk therapy kind of stuff, which everybody needs a little bit of talk therapy, and I need it as a therapist to understand their story, but
then I offer different options. Like if they have limiting beliefs, I'll offer hypnotherapy. If they take a particular interest and say, I really love the tarot deck, but I've never cracked it, we work with the tarot and we work with tarot counseling. So I really tailor the packages to not only the timing of the work that we're doing, but also the interests of the client, and then also some of the things that I see in terms of stuff that they're working on opening up.
Awesome, awesome. So I want to recommend Jennifer. She's done a couple little small readings for me, and I find she's very, very intuitive, and she knows her stuff very well. So definitely check out her services. Okay, oddly enough, Iggy just told me that last night he reran a show, and it was for Throwback Thursday, and it was Animal Totems, and I didn't even know that.
Oh, cool!
So we all seem to be we all seem the same with Animal Totems today. So, another one of my really big ones is the Praying Mantis, and that.
Oh yeah.
The praying mantis symbolizes the power of stillness.
Yep.
And I kind of look at that as one of my big powers, something that, you know, it helps me out a lot. The ability to, I have no idea why I can't talk. The aliens
it's
stole
okay.
my ability to form that. Sentences overnight.
<It's all good>.
So that ability to be still and listen and pick up what's going around in your environment and wait for like the proper time to move and to make your play, and I really tie that in with the astrology stuff that I do too, is picking that right time, that right moment to initiate something or to start something or to make your move. And I've just always loved praying mantises. They look like aliens. So that's another thing. But I attach the praying mantis with the Pisces energy to me, because it's about being still and quiet and just intuitively knowing, you know, when to make your move, when to reach out, when to make your play on things.
That's lovely. When I used to live on Fifth and High years ago, and it was a time where I was doing a lot of opening energetically myself, just internally, and so I was meditating, and I was doing chakra work, and I was doing lots of dream work. I was doing some healing and clearing some wounds and things like that, and I would go out and I would meditate on the back porch every single morning, and raise the energy and all that sort of thing. And there were praying mantises everywhere. I was like, oh, the power of stillness. You know, here we are. We're slowing down with the praying mantises. This is beautiful.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Actually, every year I go to one of the garden shops around Columbus and buy some of the praying mantis pods. Yeah.
That.
Yeah. I do that every year
cool.
now. And so I can make sure I have them near me and release them.
Oh, lovely.
Oakland Nursery has them, and some of the other shops. And you just take
Very
the little
cool.
cocoon and just find safe bush, put it on, and then after it's been warm for a little bit, they spread. It's really, if you've ever seen a praying mantis pod hatch, it's awesome. And it is the most awesome thing in the world. I mean, because it's a little tiny cocoon. I mean, it's, you know, 2 inches tall or something. And there's like hundreds and hundreds of praying mantises in there. And they just, I mean, it's like a string. It's like someone turned on a praying mantis hose.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
like they just stream. Yeah, I had a couple off the phone. I had some pictures I took last year because I was lucky enough to catch it. And it's like,
cool.
You know, this big ficus tree I had on my porch, ficus plant. I mean, it was covered. Like every leaf had like two or three little praying mantises on it. It is the most awesome thing.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
So we got about 10 minutes left here. So, some of my other ones are the wolf and a hawk, rabbit, dragonfly, crow. Those are all. I'm looking this list. I kind of noticed that they're all, I mean, it really fits in with my, you know, my, all the massive amount of water energy I have in my chart. It's all the Cancer, Pisces, and Scorpio. A lot of these animals are kind of, have dark connotations. But I made a little list, and it's like they all have, like, visionary, rebirth, ritual death, secrets, vision, foresight, you know, it's all like very mystical things and all my, so that's how I kind of knew too that these animals resonated with me so much. So it was really wild because we all have everybody has their favorite animal and their, you know, have little statues or stuffed animals, just animals you've liked and stuff. So I made this list of like, you know, the animals I'm really attracted to, and it's like, wow, they all have like similar characteristics to what I have. Mm-hmm. And so,
sure.
You know, even like with all the Cancer energy I have, you know, wolf and hawk, two of theirs, their keywords both said guardianship. And I kind of, having that, you know, Jupiter and Cancer in my chart, I really related with, those two as well.
Very cool. The other thing that I would say for people who are first getting into animal totems is don't worry if you don't get it right. Like, your animal totems change periodically. Like, my fourth is peacock, but lately monkey's been around a whole bunch. So, like, if it doesn't feel right for you anymore and it changes, that's just fine. Like, I have clients who come in and had one somewhere and then say, that one's gone and now there's this one, you know. So it isn't like it has to be fixed or anything. It just has to help heal you or speak to you. And since it's an energy that's out there in the world, you know, if you have the capacity to feel it in you, it doesn't matter how long it stays, or it's not worth more if it's there longer or anything like that. It's a really magical relationship. So just allow it to be as fluid as it needs to be and trust yourself about that.
Right. That's just to show an example of that. I would say, you know, a year and a half ago that rabbit was not one of my totems. I mean, I've always liked rabbits and stuff, but I never really felt, but then, you know, really connected with them. But then, you know, I looked the last year and a half, or last year anyways, rabbit has definitely been one of my totems. And one of the messages of rabbit is new life. And so it's just in a way where I've kind of been reborn in the last, I don't like that phrase, reborn. As I've had, sorry.
Well, okay.
I couldn't even stop that one from coming out. So I guess it needed to come out. So, yes, this new me awakened over the last year or so. Rabbit has been showing up. I mean, I was having a rabbit after I moved into the apartment I'm at now about a year and a half ago. You know, this rabbit was coming like right up to my door every day, and I'm like, what the hell?
That's wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Right. That's really cool.
And then I had three different hits from rabbits on the same day, and then it turned into the rabbit hole and my rabbit hole meetups and ending up with this show we have here now. So like, it just, the rabbits just kept showing up for me.
Well, you know, the other thing about rabbit is it jumps forward and it puts its back legs behind its front legs. So for me, when rabbit shows up, and I don't know if this resonates for you or not, but I'll just share it. It's about one step forward, two steps back, and trusting the process of your motion. So even if you have to go back a little, or it feels like you're, you know, going back, you're moving forward more than you're moving back, and not to like get all wigged out by the fact that it feels like you're moving back somewhat in terms of your goals and things like that.
Awesome. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Related for me. I was like, oh, yeah.
Don't freak out. It's all good. You'll get there.
Right. Because sometimes you do have to kind of take a step back to be able to move, or a step lateral to be able to move forward.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that's going to be a project that I give to myself here. Is I've got my list of totem animals. I'm going to kind of arrange them with my chakras to see which one with which chakra. I think that'd be even an interesting, like a visual or something with chakras and the totem animal. I think that would be an interesting thing to do. And these, you know, the things like that kind of help stay in tune. Remember, you're not ignoring the lessons and, you know, make sure you're paying attention to the signs and stuff that we're getting.
I can't emphasize enough, too, if you're having kind of an off day or if you're struggling with a particular thing, how helpful it is to just give up trying to figure it out, you know, in terms of, you know, your ego or your mind. And just allowing yourself to go into this space where you say, bat, what do you want me to know about this? Tiger, what am I missing here? You know, and you just go into this internal space where you connect with that energy and then you receive that message. And it's almost like it starts to really flow and it gets really speedy and it's this great piece that maybe your conscious mind wouldn't pick up on, you know, because you have your goal and you're driven and all this crap, you know. But when you go into that space, those pieces are just so insightful and so helpful.
Right. And it's all about, you know, I mean, basic message too comes down to, you know, being one with your reality and being present and being aware of your surroundings and your environment. And I think that's kind of one message that kind of fits all the spirit animals, is being aware of what's going on around you and taking in these pieces of information and things that are out there.
Yes, and not being disconnected from nature, you know, from the nature around you and inside you.
Yeah, I had a weird experience. I live on 161 between Sawmill and Linworth. So it was funny, 2 days before I started, 2 days before Halloween, before my first show, first episode of Mark the Rabbit Hole, I was sitting at my computer working, and I stood up for a minute, and I just happened to walk, I was walking towards the kitchen, and I just happened to look out at the right second, and I could look out my bedroom window, and this massive shape flew by my window. So I went and I ran outside, and I had a bald eagle in my yard, in my apartment complex.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's amazing.
And one of the bald eagle words is vision is one of the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, wow, that's that was amazing. Like, I know, a bald eagle in my yard, you know, right on a pretty busy street. I mean, it was like, I was like, wow. So I thank the universe for that message. That was
definitely.
I took that as a green light to proceed forward.
Definitely, that's awesome.
Okay, so do you want to? Want to thank you for being on today. Well. Definitely have you on again in the future. Anything you want to pimp us your websites again and your upcoming speaking engagements? And
sure. My website is innervoiceintuitive.com, and you can find me there. You can also find me on YouTube under Inner Voice Intuitive. And I'll be speaking at Phoenix Books on the 27th on personal shamanism and animal totems. And I'm writing a book, which I'm pretty excited about. I'm on page 173 right now, although it's rabbit, you know, it's like
one step forward, two steps back. You know, there's that going on. So
right.
For sure, have to
right.
honor that. But and that's called 78 Mirrors, Intuitive Tarot, Archetypal. What is it? Archetypal Approach to Intuitive Tarot Reading. So that will be coming out hopefully soon. We'll see. But all of that is in the works. And So thank you so much, Mark, for this opportunity and for a great conversation.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for being on. And I think we'll probably see you Saturday at the expo.
Absolutely. Can't wait to go. See you at your
talk. Yeah, and check out Jenny and her voice intuitive.com, and we will see you Saturday.
Yep. Take care, Mark.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Okay. I love the animal totem stuff. And I really get into that. Was amazing that you played a rerun of your Animal Totem show from last night. And you can catch that if you go to withinsightsradio.com. And Spontaneous Spirit Talk. Okay. So yeah, so that's all of our shows and stuff are archived on the, you can go to Blog Talk Radio to the With Insights page, you can go to withinsightsradio.com and everything is archived there. And so I had one other announcement that I forgot to make earlier. So I'm noted for having really good ideas and for having really bad ideas too. So it remains to be seen which category this will fall in. I never have a shortage of ideas. Okay, so I have an idea for a episode for my show here, and I'm thinking that this will probably be April 3rd or April 10th, but I'm going to have I've pretty much lined up a really good psychic friend of mine who has been on the show before, Lynn from Focus Session, Psychic Focus, FocusSessions.com, and I believe she's going to join me on that show. And this will be April 3rd or 10th, I think, one of those 2 days. But I'm going to invite people to send in questions. We're going to stay away from personal readings, but if people want to send in big picture questions, when will the big earthquake strike LA? When will the Browns win the Super Bowl? When will kind of big picture type things? You know, what do I see for certain countries' leadership, or who's going to win the presidency, or whatever? If you want to, you can. I will put a post on my Facebook page here shortly, or you can send an email to www.twofishesastrology, and that's T-W-O spelled out, twofishesastrology.com, and you can just put a prediction show in the subject line. And if you have a question, kind of a universal or big picture question, if you want to send that in, I'll take questions for the next couple weeks. And then Lynn and I will take about a week or so to be able to research these questions. And I will use the astrology basis, and she will use her psychic intuitive powers. To try and answer these questions, and then we will have a show where it'll be in early April where we will go over the answers to these questions you've sent. So that was either really good or really bad idea I had. I'm not sure which yet. And only the shadow knows. Only the shadow side knows. So come see us. We will be at the Gift of Light Expo. And come see myself, Gary, Ricky, Dave, Iggy, Adriana, Mary, Katie, David Two Crows. Hopefully Anthony's there. There'll be all kinds of great speakers. My friend Heather Horton will be speaking. Melinda Carver, our guest from last week, she will be there. Come say hi to her. She's wonderful. And next week, my guest will be Allison, who is in the chat room right now and a good listener. Thank you for listening, Allison and Kevin, and Peacemaker 101, and Kevin, Mozzie. Oh, and we have a free ticket. We have one free ticket to give away. So one free entrance to the expo. So I will take the fourth email to me at www.twofishesastrology.com. And whoever sends the fourth email in to me today will notify the winner, and I'll send you a reply, and we'll get you on the list to get in free for a day to the expo. Okay, so thanks everyone for listening. Next week, Allison Ahern. Next Wednesday, Iggy and I will be doing our NCAA tournament bracket predictions. I will be using astrology. He will be using his shamanistic skills to help you fill out your NCAA tournament bracket. And everyone have a good weekend. And we will see you next Friday. Ciao.